Australia Overnight. Now let's talk about ADHD. Greater community awareness of ADHD has driven a dramatic increase of Australians being prescribed medication for ADHD. But the prescription rate is still less than the actual incidence rate of ADHD. Now, the cost of a proper neuropsychological assessment can be prohibitive to some. Shortages of psychiatrists also make that difficult. Now, we need to widen the ADHD assessments to make them more accessible, says our guest, and here she is to explain more, Dr. Marjorie Collins, clinical psychologist. Thanks for coming back to Australia Overnight, Marjorie.
Thank you very much for having me on, Pat.
Now, as soon as I saw this on ADHD, I thought I need to get Dr. Marjorie on because it has become more to the fore. People, adults and younger people are discovering that they have ADHD. So can we start there? Why is this happening? Is it social media now that the information's been spread in a different way?
Yes, I think this is one of the positive benefits of social media, that people are more aware of the constellation of symptoms that go together with ADHD because of the information that's provided on social media. So people are becoming more aware of that. But not only that, with more recognition of health professionals of what ADHD looks like, in addition to which, children are being diagnosed, and then in our clinic where we see adults, there are quite a number of the parents go, I've got the same sort of symptoms. Maybe yes. I should go and get an assessment. Yeah.
Yep. And I've heard a lot of that the kids find out that they have it, then the parent says, oh, I've had a similar experience throughout my life. So is it hereditary? Is it passed on through sort of genetics?
Yes, there's actually a very strong heritable basis of ADHD, and you will find it more likely to occur in families.
Is there a concern of doing these surveys online and ticking the boxes to see if you have, you know, seven of the elements and then you make your own diagnosis, or is that a good thing that at least it's a step in the right direction?
I guess you could see it in from both perspectives. Some of the screening questionnaires you get online are just that. They're just brief screening questionnaires. And all they can tell you is, well, maybe you do have the constellation that is ADHD, but they cannot give you a diagnosis because a diagnosis is much more comprehensive than that. And there's also overlap in symptoms that ADHD has and a number of other conditions as well. Mm. Even something such as poor thyroid function can look like ADHD. So it's important to get a proper assessment to do what we call a differential diagnosis. In other words, work out, is it this or is it actually something else, so you can get appropriate treatment.
And that's what we're talking about this morning on the program, aren't we? Sort of getting that proper treatment and broadening the net to ensure everybody who needs to see somebody should see somebody.
Yes, I think that is actually really warranted, particularly because estimates are around about 6 to 10% of children in Australia have ADHD, and it's a lifelong disorder. As you get into adulthood, you can learn to manage the symptoms more effectively for some people, so they don't necessarily need to continue down the medication route. Mm. But with so many people who do actually have ADHD and a workforce shortage of paediatricians and child psychiatrists in particular, it would be, we contend with the Institute of Clinical Psychologists, we contend that it would be a good idea for the community to broaden out those people who are doing the assessments, the proper assessments for ADHD, to other individuals such as psychologists, clinical psychologists, neuropsychologists and educational and developmental psychologists who have specialised skills in these areas to diagnose, and includes diagnosing ADHD.
Australia Overnight, we're joined by Dr. Marjorie Collins, clinical psychologist, and we're talking about ADHD. To sum up ADHD, is it about, it's more than just lack of focus, isn't it? For our listeners who sort of want to know a bit more about it, so it's lack of focus is one element of ADHD, but how else does it manifest itself?
It can manifest itself in different ways in different age groups. We have what we call the DSM, or the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which gives us the various different symptoms that you might find in ADHD, although it can overlap with other conditions. So some of the broad categories are inattention, so some of the symptoms that go with not being very good at paying attention to things relative to your developmental stage. Hyperactivity and impulsivity are also some of the other characteristics of ADHD as well.
And what do you say to those people who say, look, it's a modern day thing, it's not real, and they sort of dismiss it, which is silly to do, because if somebody feels like they need attention or to see somebody, I mean, that's what we need to address. But what about the people who sort of brush it off and say, look, it's just something we've just, exaggerated in the modern day?
I would suggest that instead of being exaggerated in the modern day, it's more that we actually recognise it better than we could in the past. So in the last 40 years, we have developed a much better understanding about ADHD. We also know about the trajectory of children with ADHD. If it is left untreated, then there is actually a poorer outcome in terms of academic achievement, in terms of adjustment to everyday life and so forth. They can also develop other conditions such as anxiety as a result of having these symptoms which are untreated. So rather than being a modern day phenomenon, it's really, well, in the modern day we recognise more things. For example, we now know that flies are not born in dung. That's what we used to think. Mm. We now know that they're
more
created. Yes, and exactly the same principles hold with ADHD as well.
And which is a great
people
thing,
that
isn't
are tri- Yes, and those people who are treated, and I see that in our clinic where we have a lot of adults coming through with ADHD, the treatment can make a remarkable difference to their lives. Mm. Just one young woman who gave me permission to mention her in this radio interview, I have been seeing her for a while. She's a very highly intelligent young woman who's been going to university and has been failing out because she can't get herself organised well enough, or she's late for her to submit assignments and so forth. Since commencing treatment, she's actually doing really well in her course.
Yes.
And it looks like she may gain a place in the honours program.
Wonderful.
This would not have been possible if she hadn't been receiving treatment. And she's getting both psychiatric or medical treatment with stimulant medication, plus also the psychological input, which is helping her to restructure her life, to organise and plan, and also to manage the anxiety that she developed as a secondary consequence of having the ADHD. Yeah.
Australia Overnight, Dr. Marjorie Collins, clinical psychologist, talking about ADHD. That anxiety you mentioned, that secondary sort of result of suffering from ADHD, that causes, as many problems, doesn't it? Because anxiety makes you grumpy and, hard to live with. So that goes through your personal relationships and your work relationships as well. So this is what's happening for people with ADHD. They're sort of hard to hang on to a job, and they're, having problems with their family and friends because of this mix of anxiety and also the ADHD.
Yes. Even something as simple as family relationships, with appropriate treatment, there can be a reduction of the irritability that might go with ADHD. Or the anxiety that's accompanied as a secondary consequence of ADHD. And irritability really, as you know, interferes with a variety of different relationships. So there are quite considerable impacts and a settling in the person's life when they are getting appropriate treatment. I mean, even just another woman in my clinic who at the age of 65 was diagnosed. And now that she's receiving appropriate treatment, the relationships that she has with her family and also her grandchildren has improved remarkably.
Yes.
And she is no longer, one of her secondary consequences was depression actually, because she felt she wasn't functioning very well as a consequence of the primary ADHD. A secondary condition was the depression because she was so disappointed with herself.
Because they feel like they're different to everybody else and not sure why. Is that sort of the seed of that depression?
Finding it more difficult to do things that other people may find it easier to do, such as even complete a task at work or maintain their attention, or sometimes making impulsive decisions that later on they think, oh, goodness, that wasn't a good idea.
Yes, right. There's somebody close to me who's got ADHD, and the impulsiveness is something that sticks in my mind, but also a hyper-focus as well. When you put your mind to something, is it right to say people with ADHD can have that hyper-focus? They get right into the task, and there's certain jobs and things they can thrive at because they do that, or am I just making that up?
No, you're not making that up. You're absolutely right. That's another characteristic. There are attentional problems, getting distracted, but there is also sometimes that real absolute hyper-focus that you can see in this group.
Always medication to deal with this, or is there other ways to deal with it as well? Lifestyle, herbal things that make you sort of relax. Is it always medication that's the best thing to do?
Well, there would be some argument about that. Some people would say yes. Other people would say no. The Australian ADHD Professionals Association has actually put out a really comprehensive document on the assessment and also the management of ADHD. And they suggest, and I think it's a pretty good suggestion, they suggest that, the primary treatment is actually medication or pharmacological. Mm. That reduces the core ADHD symptoms. Right. But the psychological and lifestyle changes or treatments that you can have are really important for improving the functional outcomes for people with ADHD. Mm. There are some parents that do not want their child to receive medication, and that's really a choice that the parent should be allowed to make. And there are ways in which they can look at lifestyle changes to help manage the child manage better in their everyday life. Mm. Really sort of lifestyle and scaffolding changes, such as really encouraging regular sleep, exercise, building in structure and scaffolding, such as alarms or reminders and so forth in case they get a little bit confused or forget things.
Because it's difficult for people around them too, Marjorie. You know, it's not easy to live with somebody with ADHD just quietly.
Yes, that actually can be the case. Absolutely. Yes.
And your message is that, you know, this has been a great discussion, and, you know, thanks for your time. But we should also, you know, say the message is that we need to widen the ADHD assessments to make them more accessible. That's something you want to make the point of this morning.
Yes, I would like to make that point. The reason being that we do have a workforce shortage of psychiatrists. We have a workforce shortage also of paediatricians. And these are the people, I mean, in our clinic, for example, we get referrals every single day for people to be assessed for ADHD, and this is happening right across the country. There are simply not enough paediatricians or psychiatrists to in fact, cater for that need. So we in the Institute of Clinical Psychologists suggest that we could work together in teams more effectively between the psychological profession, which does have the dedicated training in assessment and diagnosis and also can provide the psychological input, along with our medical colleagues. It is possible for, and we are trained, the clinical psychologists, neuropsychologists, educational and developmental psychologists. These groups all have dedicated training in assessment of various different psychological disorders, and this includes ADHD. It is perfectly possible for us to do most of the groundwork for the initial assessment, and then that provide a report to our medical colleagues who can then actually just really basically shortcut some of the data that they have to collect for their assessments in order to reduce the workload for them and shoulder the workload together.
Yep.
I'm not in any way suggesting psychologists should do it all on our own, because medication can be, and a medical assessment is a really important component, but it's not the only component, and we could shoulder that load together.
Is that are we heading in that direction? It sounds like a logical solution, and will help, as you say, make it flow a bit better for people. Is that going to happen? Are you confident we can get there?
I'm really not sure whether we can get there or not. One of the limiting factors for that is that assessments are not covered by Medicare. So if the government was going to provide some funding for psychologists to provide really good, thorough assessments, then that will reduce the costing to parents and then thereby spread the load more out more widely, and I guess also reduce the cost to government indirectly, because medical specialists, do cost more per hour than a psychologist. So if the funding for the assessments can be worked out appropriately to help parents with those costs, then I do think it's really an achievable thing. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully we've done our bit sort of talking about it on this program, and I'm sure you're talking to other people as well and getting the good word out there. Thanks for your time. Always great to have you in the program. Dr. Marjorie Collins, talking about ADHD. Thank you for your time in Australia overnight.
Thank you very much, Pat.